Blog Talk Radio.
Saturday. The time is now 6:03 p.m. on the East Coast, 3:03 p.m. on the West Coast, and today is the 24th of April. Again, today is the 24th of April, 2021, and welcome to the TMGS, the Michael Gay Show, coming to you. Broadcasting live from the ATL, Atlanta, Georgia. That's where I'm at. That's where quite a few of our co-hosts are at, but we do have co-hosts in other areas, and they should be chiming in momentarily. Welcome to the show, and today, quickly I want to say thanks to Joe Foxworth for that opening theme. That's called Conversation Piece. I like that. He brought that to my attention. He was a guest on the show not too long ago, and we're going to have him back again, but I like that, and he said, hey, man, you got it. So thank you, Joe, if you're listening. Appreciate it. Got to open up the chat room. Let me go ahead and get that running. Almost didn't have a show today, you guys. I mean, you would have heard the theme, but you probably wouldn't have heard me because I just want to go over this real quick, and then we're going to get into the topics. But I'm so sick and tired of buying a damn plug for my phone every 3 months. I don't know. I got an Android. You know, I don't know for you folks who have an iPhone if you have issues, but it seems like every 3 months I got to buy another cord. And I guess the cord company is making a lot of money because when you plug it in and you think your phone is charging, you look and nothing's happening, and your phone lets you know. It'll go, do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. So now here what you're doing, you're bending the cord, right, or you're wrapping the cord around the phone until it gets a connection. And then you walk away, but you don't realize that it goes do-do-do-do. So you think it's charging. That's what happened with the cord I had here at home. And I have one at work. But I made the mistake and left the good cord at work, right? So I'm here at home, and then I'm looking at my phone, and I'm like, oh, my battery's going low. And I go searching for my cord, and I'm like, oh, damn it, I left it at work. Thank goodness a friend that doesn't live too far away, I called him, I said, you're closer than my job. Please bring me a cord. And I mean, they just left here. Honestly, they just left my house about maybe 20 minutes ago to drop off a cord. So with that story being said, let me go ahead and open up the mic of the lady of the house, co-host, and been my right hand every step of the way. Appreciate and love her very much. Janet Davis. How you doing, Janet?
Excellent day. How are you?
Better now.
You're doing okay.
I was literally, you know, I'm moving and writing, so, and I got tons of cords for everything else. And I'm going through the boxes, I'm pulling out cords, I got everything but what I needed. And luckily I called a friend of mine, they said, I'll run you a cord real quick.
Wow.
They just left 20 minutes ago.
I saw some advertisement for this person who was supposed to came up with this thing to charge your phones and stuff with to keep it from overheating. He left one of the cell phone companies, because he said they were charging people arm and leg for the chargers. They got them, build them real cheap with less than perfect components. And so he came up with his own company. I'm going to give you that information because I think it was only like they got a special for $39. But if we don't have to get another cord because I have the same problem, I will spend that $39.
In a heartbeat, you know, because, I mean, now where I work at, the cords that they sell there, it says lifetime warranty. So what I do, every time it starts getting this short, I'll be like, I need to do an exchange here. And I'm like, it's only been 3 months. Tell that company I get the cords from. But it says lifetime warranty. Give me another cord, right? But it's just like I said, these companies got to be making a lot of money because these cords don't last long. And they don't cost them much because you're paying, you know, for some $20-something dollars for some of these
and
cords.
Some of
you
them
know,
overheat
like,
your phone. Have you ever felt your phone real warm? Like it was overheating?
No, it's not the phone that's the problem. It's that where the cord plugs into the phone. Yeah, no, what I'm saying, no, where the plug plugs into the phone, after a while, you know, when you plug it into your phone, it has like a little, it don't snap, but it actually gets snug in it, right? Then after a while, it becomes kind of like loose. Then before you know it, right there, where the plug is and where the wire is, that's where the short is. And I find myself having to, you know, wrap the cord around the phone, and then it will go ahead and start working or start charging. It starts, and again, then it gets worse and worse and worse and worse. But the point I'm just making is that where they're making a killing off these cheap-ass cords that they're selling, because I'm pretty sure it probably costs them about maybe 25 cents to make a cord, right? And they're charging you $20. So, you know, I mean, they're making a killing, you know. Let me open up another mic. We got the law in the house. I'm giving a little time for everybody to chime in, and I definitely have to go ahead and get the chat room open. Okay, the chat room is now open, but I got to open up the mic. We got the law in the house. Officer Crenshaw is here. How you doing, my brother?
What?
I'm good.
Hey, Crenshaw.
Hey, sleepy lady.
Yeah, did you go to sleep last night after that I went to sleep. I went to sleep at 4:30 this morning.
Hey. We didn't talk that long.
No,
we didn't
I was working.
No, we did not talk till 4:30 this morning.
But
you know,
working on something.
Yeah, you were, and I truly appreciate it. Yeah. Truly appreciate it. We really do have a lot to talk about though today because it's been one hell of a not just a week but a month. Actually, a hell of a start of the year. And before we get started, I'm going to open up another mic, 818-516. That looks like our friend, our guest co-host, and we're glad when he stops in, Mr. Time and Shift.
Right.
How the hell are you, people? How goes it?
Hey, Time and.
Oh, what's your,
hey, yeah, how are you? Off the Crenshaw,
great,
Big
great.
Mike?
Rested.
Rested, there you go. Yeah.
Yeah, I stayed in bed all day.
Oh, look
that must
you bragging? Is that what you're doing? You bragging at you. You've been in bed all day. Who can say that? What you been doing? I've been in bed all day. That means you have a good life. That's a good life. Yeah.
No, it was raining. It was so bad. It was just bad this morning to the point I didn't want to really get up.
Oh, well, that's that sleep.
She got up, got a snack. No, she didn't stay in bed all day. She got a snack and went right back, huh? Isn't that what you did?
Uh-huh.
I mean, I don't know. But I'm pretty sure you did. Okay.
Yes, I did.
I mean, because I thought you might have had room service or something. Maybe, you know, when folks say I stayed in bed all day, like, oh, you had room service? Damn. Someone was bringing you breakfast and lunch? Because you're talking about all day now. You got to get hungry
right.
at some point.
Yeah.
Fantastic. So, okay, so you guys, hey, thank you, everyone, for calling in. Where do we begin? Well, let me ask you guys this. Another show said that they did a survey prior to the verdict and asked what they thought was going to happen. But in all honesty, when the verdict came down, or prior to when the verdict came down, did you think that this officer would have been found guilty on all three charges, or maybe one or two, or not at all? Honest.
I thought he was.
I'll let the lady go first. Let me let the lady
go
first.
I thought that they were going to find him guilty because the evidence was overwhelming, and even people on the force had negative things to say about what transpired. So you just, I just prayed and put it in God's hands, and I'm just glad for the outcome.
Okay. Let's see. I want to have Officer Crenshaw speak last, since he's been on the force and he's very much knows about certain things or a lot of things, of course. Timon, what did you think? You thought he was going to be found guilty of all charges, or maybe a couple of here and there?
I thought he was going to walk. I thought for sure they were going to let him off.
Hmm.
I mean, after seeing what happened with Rodney King and what happened with Trayvon Martin, I don't put no faith in what they did. You got people out there. You got your Candace Owens and your Brandon Tatums out there putting all this stuff out about this man who, you know, and I even got someone tell me last night that their father sent them something that something that Candace Owens said. And I said, I don't care what y'all say. That man didn't deserve to die. That's what you need to get to understand. I work for law enforcement. I can't do that. I work with juvenile criminals. Can you imagine me? I can't even use my pepper spray. And I cannot hog tie and put, I got three guys on me, four guys. You had, it's three. It was a total of four, right?
Yeah, it was four. Yeah, it was a total of four.
Okay, so
there was a total of five. There was a total of five. It was a total of four, right? And it was three guys on,
so
and
I
the
got
one
three on
off
my back.
There, right? And
Tal
is trying to keep people away. Right?
But you got three on your back and one on my neck. Okay.
Right.
Dude is down. But I mean, after we saw what they did with Rodney, Trayvon, and how people feel, and they're calling this dude a drug addict and blah, blah, blah. But yet, Kyle Rittenhouse, he shot two people, and they sent him $1 million to get him off, to get him, you know, get to pay his bond.
Right,
You know, this boy killed two people, and he's out on bond.
Right. And he's, well, he was at a place where he was, I guess at a certain age you're allowed to drink, but they had him or him and I think it was his mom and one of the Proud Boys or some organization. He was out at some bar and, you know, they having a good old time and this and the other. Yeah, that is crazy. But, you know, I want to say this, though. You're one of the few people that had said they thought, that I know of, that they thought they were going to let him go. And looking at the prosecution and looking at the defense, of course, as we well know, if everybody followed or kept up with it, they were trying to blame the victim. That seems like always the way to go. Well, blame the victim for their past behavior. That's always the defense. Even back, you know, Jenny, you remember? Well, we've had Laura King on, and Laura King has been on television all this week on every network, just about every network. And I texted her the other day, and it was funny. She wasn't even on the show, and they brought her up, you know, and about, as you said, like Rodney King. Fortunately, her dad wasn't killed at that time. But look at the effect that it had back then, where the riots had happened there in L.A. and this and that and the other. What do you expect?
They had video, just like now.
Right.
Did they not have video? They had video, and guess what? Still couldn't convict them.
You know,
but since they're talking about the victim, they didn't bring up the complaint on Chauvin. Because the dude had 26 complaints.
I thought they said like, I think they said like 17.
Yeah, the total of 26.
I thought they heard. Oh, okay, a total of 26 complaints, but they can't release it or they won't release it.
Well, no. What they did, the reason why they didn't bring it up and put it in the case is because you have to focus on what the crime is right now. We're not going to get into past stuff. That's why they wouldn't allow them to get George. They tried to get George for his past behavior. But really, as once you got the specialist in there speaking, what are you going to say? The dude didn't already tell. The pulmonary dude said a healthy man would have died from this. They got it.
True.
They had a great case, but I still didn't believe that they would let him off just because of what's happened in our country.
Okay. Let me jump over to Officer Crenshaw. What did you think? Did you think it was going to be that way, or did you think they were going to get him on certain charges and maybe not on others?
No, I knew they were going to get him on all three simply because never in the history has a department spoke out so bluntly against his action. And the fact that, you know, he didn't testify on behalf of, you know, his attorney said don't. You know, he might have got some remorse from somebody then, but when he didn't do that, dude, when they read the verdict, he looked like one of the Muppets. His eyes was just so big and going back and forth. You know, he looked like he was on Sesame Street. So it's already something going on in his head as far as his plan, whether it be to harm himself or comply with the radicalist racism that's already in the jail. He's already killed a black man and convicted of it, so he'll fit right in with the skinheads.
Now, you know, he's in solitary confinement. They're definitely not going to put him with population at this point in time. I don't know what might happen down the road, but you know they're not going to do that, especially seeing that this August the other three officers are going to have to go up against judgment, which I want to get into that not too quickly, but so...
Well.
Go ahead.
Most officers, when they go to jail, when they go to prison for something, you know, it's a totally different prison. It's other
That's what
officers
I figured.
In there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But just like you have your racism on the department and your segregation, you have it in the prison system too, even with other officers.
Mm-hmm. I follow you. It's just like you got the Crips, but there's different sections of Crips, and Crips, not all Crips get along. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Yeah.
So not all officers get along.
Well,
am I right?
When you go, right, and when you end up in prison for something that you've done, you know, now it's survival. So who do I join? Who do
right.
I hang
what
with?
Group?
Who's going to protect me? Who's going to look out for me?
Yep, who's got my back, right? Wow.
And there's plenty of racist officers, you know, so they have their, and when I say racist, I'm talking about white and black. The separation
mm-hmm.
is there. In prison, there is no blue line because they got locked up for violating it.
Mm. Wow. Okay, so let me say this, that in the beginning, I thought like Tynan. I thought, oh, they're going to find a way to let him off. But now, I wasn't able to watch the trial every day, all day, but I would, when I would come home from work, I would, you know, catch up on some of it. There was times I was able to watch. But the testimony, like was which was just said from other officers, from the experts, was so damning. Because, as I said, they tried to say, well, his drug use. You know, he was on something. And even Chauvin said, well, you could tell he was on something, you know. They tried so hard to blame the victim. But the
mm-hmm.
medical testimony was so overwhelming. And what was that one, Tobin, the way he
mm-hmm.
said that? And I think, I believe they interviewed an alternate juror. And she said, when he spoke, she said, that's what told me guilty. She said, he broke it down like science. You know, like, you can't avoid the fact. You can't avoid the fact of what killed this man. So I thought that was very, very interesting, you know, how the defense wants to say, you know, blame the victim. And we know that happens a lot. We know that happens a lot of times. You know, it's sad.
But the thing,
so,
though, but the thing is, I was going to say, but the thing is, Mike, when people go and want to go after what this man was, that's the same thing they try to do with Trayvon Martin, okay? He was a black kid with Skittles, so he had a hoodie on. He had Skittles and iced tea. Why'd you kill him? Why'd you leave him alone? Or they're always getting away. Getting away with what? You know, I understand
mm-hmm.
a cop has a job to do. I guess, you know, but somebody's got to know how to be able to de-escalate something, structure some things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, something got to go down. You can't just be pepper spraying and beating people down, you know. Now, I understand if there's a certain situation where you got to get involved. But the first thing to pull your gun every time is not the way to go. Like the woman did. The woman pulled the gun, and guess what?
Right. I'm going to go into that because I want to touch that as far as and you're talking about who shot Deontay Wright. Right. I want to go into that. Okay, and we're going to go on to the officer who shot the young lady. I had her name up here. I got to find her name. The 16-year-old girl. I want to go down the line on it. But with this case here, and let's go back, Rodney King was beaten inches from his life. Inches from his life.
Right.
By, what, 7-8 cops. But he lived, and see what happened. Riots came. But I tell everybody, and I've said this before, Janet, you remember I said that. But in L.A., that was a thing that it was brewing because there was a lot of other things that were happening to black folks in Los Angeles that police got off. And not just police. It's like Natasha Hardings shot by the grocery store owner in the back and got a $500 fine and probation. It was building. So It was so crazy what Laura King, Rodney's daughter, posted the other day, is that the only difference between when her father was beaten inches from his life, the difference was today the video quality is just better. Because remember that Mr. Holliday, who was the white man who was across the street with one of those old model VHS camcorders, right? And you think about it. You're talking about old camcorder, and it was clear as day what we're looking at. And then here, we got cell phones that have cameras that zoom in, and the picture is just crystal clear. You can see everything. And it's not from a distance. These folks are standing on the curb. They're standing there on the curb watching this man being choked, which some folks said lynched, by me.
Hey, came through so clear, Mike, that the girl is traumatized who did the video.
Yeah, definitely.
That girl said she'll never be the same. She said, I sat there and filmed this man lose his life.
Mm-hmm.
And
she said,
the boy who had the 20, said the $20. He said, look, man, I should have just said, hey, bro, we can't accept this bill. Why didn't I do that? Why did we call the police?
Right. That's going to be, well, as you know, that the owner of the store would, well, actually what he said that, or what the story was, is that where his employees, if they accepted a counterfeit bill, it would come out of their pay.
But he was willing to pay. He was willing to give $20 because he said he just knew that George Floyd did not realize that was a $20 bill that was counterfeit. But the other guy George was with, he wouldn't accept that bill because he knew the guy knew it was counterfeit.
Okay.
Oh, and Mike, let me tell you, I just want to say this. There are more people out there, and if y'all hear this, they're saying, well, man, you got to look at it from both sides, Ty. You got to see both sides. I've had my friends tell me this, and they say, because, you know, the media does this, and the media does that. And I'm sitting there going, really? Well, ain't no media. That's just like the insurrection. We can't hide this. The media showed it. And I was waiting, and they've tried to look at it from all different angles. I was waiting for someone to say, oh, well, you know, man, see, if he'd have done this, or, you know, no, the media showed you only this part. And I was like, these are black folks telling me this. You hear me?
Mm-hmm.
These are black people who are buying into the game. That's why conspiracy theory is going out. That's all I got to say about it. But I'm telling you, man, I've ran into all of them. They're crazy. That's why Trump was able to sucker their butts. It's stupid.
He still is, and he still is. But right, and there's always these conspiracy theories, of course. All right, but now, in a few weeks or so, or a little longer, I forgot what date they said. I saw where a date was posted of when Chauvin decided to let the judge make the decision of his sentence, not the jury. Think that was a good move on his behalf?
No, I don't think so. I think it was June 6th. There's like, I'll look it up for you, but I think it was June 6th that he's looking at somewhere in that time frame.
But you know that he had a choice who could sentence him, right? The jury or the judge?
He saw the look on the juror's face when people were testifying. He knew he didn't stand a chance with his little fake note.
But you said that by him choosing the judge was not a good idea or a good idea?
I thought it was a good idea. Because he thought that they were going to try to give him the maximum penalty, you know. But I feel the judge was fair, too, and he listened to all the stuff that transpired, you know. So I'm just hoping that he does get the maximum.
Mike, he's thinking because of that. And remember when the judge commented about what's the name?
Maxine Waters.
He's thinking that the judge said, oh, well, that might be a move for appeal right there, you know.
Are you talking
about
the carbon monoxide? Are you talking about the carbon monoxide?
When she commented, the judge said, "I wish that these politicians would keep their mouths shut because of what you know of what's going on, you know." And he said they could probably use that to throw the case out.
Well, you can't put Maxine Waters on a gag order. You sure can't do that. You know, you can't do that. So what the judge said really was neither here nor there. Some folks say Maxine shouldn't have said it. And she has the right to say what she wants to. She's not on the jury. You know, she can say whatever she wants.
But Mike, she's got a big bullhorn, and you got to know. Because
right.
I was sitting there going like, shut up! It's like when OJ got busted, right? What did everybody say? Go sit your butt down. Now you beat your case, fool. Go sit down. And all we said is, we got this dude. Don't say nothing because they're looking for something to get these fools on. I get what he was trying to do, but just shut up.
No matter what she said, because the jury was instructed not to watch the news, to the media, or anything else.
Right.
So the only way they would know was third-party information, one of the attorneys mentioning it in court.
Right. I get that. I understand what you're saying, but I just wish that, you know how sensitive this is. Just don't say nothing. I don't want to give them anything because I'm already not believing that they're going to let him off, even though everything in the world says, we got you.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, everything. I'm with you. I believe everything, but I just, this country just doesn't have a great track record with their justice system, especially when it comes to black folks.
Well, somebody said a long time ago, the most dangerous weapon is silence.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you're dealing with somebody and they're quiet, you don't know what to expect. But if they're raising all type of cane, then you kind of feel what they're leading towards. But if they're just completely silent, you don't know what's getting ready to
happen. Hey, you know what? You got a good point because I think I've said this before. I have a brother who's deceased. Well, all my brothers are gone, but my brother Daryl, he was one of those. Everybody knew when you least expect it, you better expect it. Because you could do some shit to him, and he would not retaliate right away. I remember one time I did something. I don't remember what it was. But it was almost 2 weeks later. He just knocked the hell out of me. And I'm like, what the hell are you hitting me for? Remember 2 weeks ago when you took my... God damn, are you still thinking about that? I'm serious. It's just like you said. When folks are quiet and then when folks just shrug off stuff, they ain't forgot. He wouldn't forget.
No.
2 weeks down
the road. You know my motto, Mike. My motto is, hey, I'm motivated by pure hate. I'm going to hold on to it. I say, okay, I'm going to get you. Okay, don't worry. Mm-hmm. I ain't forgot.
When you least expect it.
I just turn that energy. I turn that into positive energy. I just flip it. Okay. That's going to make me drive even more.
Okay, so back to so he chose the judge to Now, the judge has a choice here, and there are some other factors involved. This crime was, in front of a minor. That's pretty deep there, too. Because keep in mind, this one girl was a minor at the time when she saw the murder now, right? And other factors involved, him being an officer of the law, you know, what do you think, looking at the three things, and what is it? Is it 4 years for one, 20-something years for the other, and 10 years for the other? Am I right? Somewhere around there? what do you think that the judge is going to do, split it in half, or do you think the judge is going to go max on all of it? And then after that, there, the question is, too, as far as the other officers who have to go to court, who do you think is going to try to strike a plea deal instead of trying to fight it?
All three.
If any.
Yeah, I agree. All three.
Oh, they got
the brother-in-law
what do you
think? Is going to try to strike a plea deal so he can stay out and be out with the wife, but it's not going to work because he's the one there directly that really should have stepped forward more as far as making Chauvin stop. He had the same amount of years, if not close, on the department. As far as his sentencing, he's looking for compassion from the judge. Now, he could run all three sentences concurrent with one another and give him like an early probation time frame with good behavior, 40 years, do 9, entitled to probation.
Now, I'm glad you mentioned that because no one is thinking about the fact that off on good behavior. There have been other, not just officers, but other individuals that have been sentenced a long period of time, but they get out based on good behavior and the rest of the time is on probation. So, I mean, that would be a slap in the face. And hopefully that don't happen. Because I can imagine, just you just said, if he sentenced him 40 years and he only does 9 or even 10, just imagine the anger that would be among folks where, wait a minute, he's out in 10 years? And there's people doing 20 for
theft. They're not worried about that down the road, Mike. They're not worried about down the road. They were worried about right now because they didn't want the cities to be destroyed. So they gave everybody what everybody wanted, and kept the cities from being destroyed. So down the road, they figured, even though it'll never be forgotten, they feel like it will.
Yeah.
Well, and don't when you have more than one thing against you, can't it run together? I mean, consecutively or concurrent or whatever they call it. Instead of separate.
It can all run concurrent. It can all run concurrent, unless they decide to run each individual charge separately.
But right.
And that's going to be up to the judge.
Right. By all three charges involving that one individual, they can run it concurrent. If it was three different other individuals, then they might run it consecutive. He does 40, does 10, and then after that 10, he starts the 40 for the other person and does 10.
Right.
So the judicial system is a weird system. It's set up and designed for complete failure, like probation and everything else, So
you got to pay when you're on probation, and they don't even, most of the times you can't even get a job to pay,
I've been on probation. Trust me, I've been on probation, and that's a racket that is unbelievable. That's an unbelievable, I call it a racket. Because I was on probation and I had a hard time. This was years back, long time ago. But I was on probation and I got a job offer in Alabama. And I told my probation officer, he said, "Oh, no, you can't leave the state of Georgia and everything." I said, "Really? Okay." I walked across the street to the courthouse and went to the judge's office, the judge who had sentenced me. And his secretary was there. She said, oh, yeah, he's with someone. He'll just wait a minute. And I told him, hey, look, I got a job. And he said, yeah, as long as you show up once a month, you should be fine. He said, I don't mind. You can go ahead and go. And you're able-bodied to work. You got a job. Great. Pay your this and the other. My probation officer had a fit. Guess what they did?
Mm-hmm.
They flipped the script. Told me I got to come and report every Monday at 7 p.m. I live in Alabama now, right?
Knowing that you can't get off work and get back to Georgia, because where you were at was like 2 hours.
2.5 hour drive.
Mm-hmm.
They had to come all the way here on a Monday night at 7 p.m. and then have to whiz back to Birmingham to be at work on Tuesday. Now my supervisor was like, okay. He was cool with it. But you know, it's like you guys are making it harder than it needs to be. It's a catch 22.
Mm-hmm.
The judge already said, okay, and just report once a month. But see, once it turns over to probation says, well, okay, cool. The judge said you can leave the state, but we're going to tell you you need to come and see us every Monday.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of BS is that?
Well, that's because you went to the judge. He felt like you went over his head. And that's what
well,
I think. My brother went to that. My brother went to the right. So he felt like, oh, you think you bad? You're going to go over my head? Okay, I got something for you. And that's, it shouldn't be that way. It shouldn't
exactly be
that way. There are brothers right now who had, I even told my own brother when he was going through it, I said, man, on your last week, they're going to mess with you. You need to keep your cool, because that brother's running that halfway house, you're money to him. And if he does not want you to walk away, he'd much rather see you get locked back up.
Mm-hmm.
Don't you touch him. Don't you yell at him. Don't you? And that dude went in and would mess up my brother's clothes and complain about stuff and everything. My brother was losing it. And I said, don't you do it. They will send you back to Corcoran State Prison, and you will. They will double your time. You got to really keep your cool. And he did, and he made it out.
Yeah.
You know,
even if you got one day left, it don't matter. They can lock your tail up.
And them dudes are cold, because that's big money to him. You're talking $1,500 a head. From the state, that's good money. That's why that was the big thing about foster care, you know, because they can get that money. They ain't really care nothing about the kids. They like it being able to get the money.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Did we lose money?
That's what I was just going to say.
You know, he loves taking these breaks.
Maybe he's on a call or listening, looking at something from someone in the chat room. Hopefully, yeah. But I think it's sad, especially for families when a person don't have a job. And whoever is responsible for that person, in order for them to get out on probation, that money got to come from somewhere. They don't care whether that person has a job, you know. Mm-hmm. They try to make it even harder for you to get a job.
Well, that's the whole thing about, you know, locking up kids. And that's
mm-hmm.
the whole thing about the correction system. It's big money. It is huge money to keep locking people up. Okay, because already your other battle is capitalism and labor. They don't want to pay you. They don't want to pay you. They've also got this whole message that they're doing now, talking about cancel culture and how that the white folks thinking that people that the Democrats are bringing over more people from other countries to put them, to get rid of them. That's that whole lie that they're selling right now. You know, what's his name? Tucker Carlson is selling this whole replacement thing that, you know,
right.
Remember they did that walk about Jews will not replace us? Well, Jews is already here. Hell, you wouldn't even know a Jew if he was standing next to you anyway, because he's white.
Amen. Right.
Really, it's a just a whole mess of crap, you know, that's coming together that people have to watch out for, that is really ruining society. And so when the guy gets out of jail, why can't he? I mean, you know, you can go to college while you're in jail. The problem is when you get out of jail, can you go to school? But as long as you're locked up, you can get as many degrees as you want. But then once you get out,
can you get rid of that, though?
What's that?
I thought some states got rid of where you could be able to go to school and do different things, because I know they had changed some laws in New York State where they made it harder for a person, because guys used to want to exercise and just go to school, and they want that cheap labor.
Right. There again, you know, unless the problem with when a guy comes out of jail, he has to be exposed to something new. If you just send him back to his old neighborhood, 9 times out of 10, he's going to get right back in the same trouble he was in. He's going to get hooked up with
people. Yeah.
So that's what they're hoping.
I know someone whose time in prison, and they kept a level head and got a trade and went to school and was able to graduate and, you know, and do different things. And eventually the sentence became minimum instead of maximum, and they were able to get out finally early, you know. But they do make it hard for you. And I know it was a struggle at one time because they was changing the law where they didn't really want you to go to school.
Mm-mm.
Yeah, in New York.
Yeah, I mean, so, you know, you really, so many people have to, you know, you have to put the best foot forward and really, you know, like you said, stay away from those folks that you used to get in trouble with.
And when you get out, don't do anything stupid to get back in. Down here in Georgia, I know another person who her son stole 5 packs of cigarettes. They gave him 6 years, a year for every pack and a year to think about it.
Wow.
6 years for 5 packs of cigarettes. And at the time, cigarettes only cost like $1.25.
Man.
Yeah.
You know, I used to tell people that all the time when I was on the street, you know, you running around and you yelling about the white man and slavery. Why do shit that's going to self-enslave yourself?
Amen.
Because you know if you go to prison, they're going to put shackles on you, handcuffs on you. You know, why self-enslave yourself? You can make better choices. Granted, not all of us can make great choices. But we all were raised with the basic principle of right and wrong. Every mama preached the Ten Commandments when I was growing up.
Mhm. Yeah, I did too.
The only one we didn't listen to. Do not covet thy neighbor's wife. That's the only one we didn't listen to.
Okay.
I'm just joking.
No, you're telling the truth, because there's some guys out there, they want to live that little double life. And there's some women out there that lead that double life, you know, and don't care about the consequences.
It ain't worth it. Believe me.
No. No, it's not. Mm-mm. Yeah, I don't know what happened to Michael. I think we need to move on to the next topic.
Sure.
I didn't get a text or anything from him. So the next topic, I guess, let me see. I have to look. I think it was supposed to be for the Wright funeral. What is it? Andre? No, what was his name? Hold on. I'll tell you in a minute. Deontay Wright's funeral, they had a lot of people at that funeral. And, you know, they had civil rights leaders. They had people from the Congress and the Senate, and you know, and they had hundreds of people. Just the, all the families of previous victims. You know, I thought it was a tearjerker. You know, but and I know Reverend Al Sharpton. He did the eulogy, and I thought he did a great job. You know, helping to pull everything together. Because our struggle is not over, even though sometimes people think it is, by that just that one found guilty on three charges, all the things that happened previous, like we were talking about, is not anything to just forget about, you know. We have done
That's
many
true.
Shows, yeah, with, you know, I'm still... still, I feel some kind of way about Trayvon Martin, you know, because that guy, they even though the police told him, George Zimmerman, to stand down, he followed them anyway and caused
right.
the shooting, but he got off. That's my
With that stand your ground crap.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Aren't they trying to get rid of some of that in California, not California, Florida, that stand your ground? Because I know there was a few cases where people were just going hog wild using stand your ground or I fear for my life. I mean, that's every time something happened, you would hear either that or I was in fear of my life. You know.
Well, that's textbook terminology. That's what they teach you, especially as law enforcement. But when you have citizens using it and then all the different TV shows and everything that's going on now, you know, they're going to use it. They shouldn't use it. They need to get rid of that. I mean, I understand you have to stand your ground.
Mm-hmm.
Here in the state of Georgia, it used to be if a burglar broke into your house, you could blow him back out the door. Now, if a burglar breaks into your house and you confront him, you have to afford him the opportunity to leave. If he chooses not to leave, then you can blow him out the door.
Mm-mm-mm.
So, in other words, you catch somebody in your house while you're asleep, and you confront them, you can't just shoot them. You got to hold them and wait for the police. If they turn and try to run and you shoot them in the back, you're being charged.
Mm-hmm.
Even though it's your house. They broke into your house.
And
they
how can you hold somebody, especially if that person is larger than you, you know, and can overpower you? Like for me, for instance, I'm a woman, and I'm not no tall person. You know, so I can easily be overpowered, and
so
I think it's
if you got a gun and you don't shoot them right away, you're in trouble.
Right.
If they turn and say, all right, you screw you, and turn and start running out the door and you shoot them in the back, you're in trouble. But if they make any type of step towards you and you can justify that step, do what you
mm-hmm.
got to do.
Mm.
As a woman, he was bigger than me. He was quicker than me. I thought he was going to overpower me. He told me he'd take my gun from me and kill me with my own gun, and I closed my eyes and just went to blinking. Whatever you got to do.
All right. Timon, do you have anything to say on this?
Well, you know, I really believe that I mean, you know, Kernshaw's right that, you know, you really have to think when someone comes into your home, you know. You have choices. And just like, and, you know, that's a good point, Officer Kernshaw, because if you think about it, just like, the, you know, when you say a person running away from you and they're in your house, you can't shoot them in the back. That's the same thing for
yep.
these police officers who are shooting at these people and killing them.
Exactly.
The woman did not have to shoot. Just because you said he has a warrant, okay, and he began to run, all right, he didn't hit you. So the, I thought, you know, taser, taser, taser. Oh, okay, but you had the taser. You had the gun in your hand the whole time. You don't tell me you didn't know what that was.
Right, because a taser is different color, different weight, everything, you know. And
you know,
was
I'm not,
to...
I mean, but yeah, and you turned around, you shot this kid, put one dead in his chest from close range, and now you got an answer to that.
Me and Mason talked about that last week, you know, and to even pull that taser out while he was still in the car and the car was running was a violation of SOP. You know, they teach you that when you go to tase somebody, that that taser is to stop them, not to hurt them. So if you're crawling a scaling a fence trying to get away from me and I tase you, you fall off that fence and bust your head and die, I'm liable.
Right.
If I tase you while you're in that car and your feet jerk from being tased, and you hit the gas and throw it in reverse and run over a two-year-old, I'm liable.
Wow.
So
wow.
You shouldn't have pulled it out to begin with two other officers in front of her. You know,
right.
She shouldn't have pulled it out, period. You know, if anything, fire in the hole, pepper spray.
Mm-hmm.
You got liability with that as well.
I think they ought to get where you get. What's one of them guns where they shoot the net out and it wraps all around you? They need one of them. Instead of just you know, and just, I mean, I'm saying it's just, I mean, you got you, okay, he's running away. Poof, big net comes out, goes over it, right? And then you just hold him down until some other people
well, see,
get there, you know?
That's pretty much what it's about to come down to, is special gadgets like that, because
mm-hmm.
they give you bing bags and different things like that, you know, for your shotgun and stuff like that. Well, if you shoot somebody with a bing bag and they got a bad heart, you know, so it's damn near getting ready to come to the booby trap scenarios as far as the net falling over somebody, you know, the my thing is, if they're running and you know who they are, catch them later. That's why you have a fugitive squad.
That's right.
You know?
That's right.
By the way, I am now.
I would chase people.
Oh.
I would chase people. I will admit that.
Right.
But as I got older and I learned more on the department, hell, they take off running. I already know who they are. I drive around the corner. I'm waiting in front of their house for them.
Be like, you got to come home some damn time, right? You ain't going to sleep
right
in the street.
Is
you know, it's
Mike?
Cold out here. Right. They
is
have to. Have, you know what? And you know what? Yes, it's me. I'm back. I'm back.
Welcome
I'm
back,
having
Mike.
Some issues.
It's been a second
yeah,
long
thank you.
Time.
I'm glad
we
to come back.
On.
Yeah, well, that's great. I'm glad that's what I like for you guys to do. You know, I'm having a screwed up time with my phone here, but we're almost at the top of the hour, 1 minute away. But I'm glad that you guys moved on while I'm dealing with this phone situation here. I got to get this right. But as Officer Crenshaw just said, though, but listen to what he said. In many cases, which is very obvious, you've got the person's driver's license, you've got their vehicle, you know where they live, why you got to kill them? It's just like the gentleman who was killed at the Wendy's. His car is right there. You got his ID and everything. And according
mm-hmm.
to
and a court, it was a misdemeanor.
Officer Crenshaw, you know Ralph that works with, well, you worked with Ralph. Ralph said he knows that area. He said, man, that dude was running to an area where he was trapped. Basically, he couldn't go nowhere. He said, if you know that area, there was really no outlet. They could have just hunt him down and find him, or either waited until, you know, at some point he's going to have to go home. He's
mm-hmm.
got to go somewhere. He ain't got a car. His car is right there in the parking lot of Wendy's. But you shoot and kill him. Well, he grabbed my taser. Well, we've seen the video. It's mm-hmm. two officers here now, and this is what really bothers me. You guys are trained. You're trained for combat, physical combat. It's two of you, and you're just as big as he is. The young boy who just got killed, and we're going to get into that after we take a quick break. It's three, four officers there? And she yells, taser, taser, taser. We're going to get into that. And Officer Crenshaw, we talked about the difference of the tasers, but I want us to go back over that again because this case is going to come up, and I'm curious of what is her defense going to try to say. After 26 years on the force, you grabbed both of these weapons well over 26 times. You should know the difference. You pulled this weapon well over 26 times, either one of them. Take your pick. In 26 years, you should know the difference in the weight, in the color, in the grip. We're going to go over that. Hey, you guys, let's take a quick break. I'm trying to still work with my phone here and get things in order. But quickly, I want to share something. We lost a rap icon this week, Shock G. And it really kind of hurts my heart when I go and I take a look and I type in Google Shock G, right? And you could do the same thing. And I'm looking over to the right-hand side of Google. It has what his stage name was. But the picture that they have in the corner is a mugshot, the right-hand side. You can see the lines behind him. He's got on the orange jumpsuit. Why would they put that up here? It says Shock G, American musician. But the mugshot is what they put.
And where is this at, Michael? Because the one I saw was when he had the slight fake nose on.
No, go to Google and type in the word shock and then the initial.
Yeah, I did. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And this is what popped up. This is mugshot on the far right-hand side. Now, granted, they have the TMZ, did a story, NPR, the Washington Post, all did that. You'll see that towards the left. But the main box on the right is a mugshot in an orange jump. It's obvious. This is not no, you know, this ain't no orange T-shirt. You can see the lines behind him. You can see the expression on his face. So let me just run this down to you guys real quick, and we're going to take a quick music break. Gregory Edward Jacobs, known professionally as Shock G, was an American musician, rapper, and lead vocalist for the hip-hop group Digital Underground. He was responsible for Digital Underground's The Humpty Dance, Tupac's breakthrough single I Get Around, and co-producer of Tupac's debut album, Tupaculips. Born August 25th, 1963, in Brooklyn, New York. He died April 22nd of this year in Tampa, Florida. Full name, Gregory Jacobs. Albums, Sex Packets, Sons of the P, The Body Hat, Syndrome, and more. According to the story that I read, that he was found dead in a room in Florida. And cause of death has not been released yet, I'm pretty sure, which they have already said they're going to do an autopsy and report when possible. I want to do something, you guys, that I normally don't do, but I want to play two of his songs. The one that's really popular, or that was popular, that made him, you know, just an amazing character as a rapper. He was one of those fun rappers. I mean, it was the type of rap that it was fun. You know, it wasn't always serious type stuff or gangster rap. It was not all that type of stuff. Humpty Dance was a worldwide hit. It really was. Still is. You know, I want to play that, and then I want to back it up with a song that Digital Underground did that I really like, probably more than Humpty Dance. Let's take a quick break, a couple of tracks, and we'll be right back. You're listening to The Michael Gay Show here on the TMGN, the Michael Gay Network, with my co-host, Janet Davis, Officer Crenshaw, our special guest co-host, Mr. Time and Ship, is joining us all the way from California. And I see some folks here on the board. If you have a question or comment, go ahead and hit the number one. We'll open up your mic, and you can join the conversation. When we come back, we're going to talk about other situations that have came up during the trial, the George Floyd trial, the recent shootings of not just Deontay Wright, but the 16-year-old. That one is a tough one, and we're going to really get deep into that. We'll be right back.
Cause I'm about to ruin the image and the style that you're used to. I look funny, but yo, I'm making money, see. So yo, world, I hope you're ready for me. Now gather round, I'm the new fool in town, and my sound's laid down by the underground. I drink a bottle of Hennessy you got on your shelf, so just let me introduce myself. My name is Humpty, pronounced with the umpty. Yo, ladies, oh, how I like to funk thee. And all the rappers in the top 10, please allow me to bump thee. I'm stepping tall, y'all, and just like Humpty Dumpty, you're gonna fall when the stereos pump me. I like the rhyme, I like my beats funky, I'm spunky. I like my oatmeal lumpy, I'm sick with this. Straight gangster Mac. But sometimes I get ridiculous. I'll eat up all your crackers and your licorice. Oh, yo, fat girl, come here, are you ticklish? Yeah, I called you fat. Look at me, I'm skinny. It never stopped me from getting busy. I'm a freak. I like the girls with the boom. I once got busy in a bathroom. I'm crazy. Allow me to amaze thee. They say I'm ugly, but it just don't faze me. I'm still getting in the and I even got my own dance. So yo, Humpty, you're really funny looking. That's alright, cause I get things cooking. You stare, you glare, you constantly try to compare me, but you can't get near me. I'm giving more C, and on the floor B, all the girls, they adore me. Oh yes, ladies, I'm really being sincere, cause in the I'm a Humpty nose will tickle your my nose is big. I'm not ashamed, big like a pickle. I'm still getting paid, I get by the ladies, you know I'm in charge. Both how I'm living and my nose is large. I get stupid, I shoot an arrow like Cupid. I use a word that don't mean nothing, like lucid. I sang on Do What You Like, and if you missed it, I'm the one who said just grab them in the biscuit. Also told you that I like to bite. Well yeah, I guess it's obvious I also like to write. All you had to do was give Humpty a chance, and now I'm gonna do my dance.
The Humpty dance is your chance to do the hump.
Come on. Bass groove right here. Yeah. Now that I told y'all a little bit about myself, let me tell you a little bit about this dance. It's real easy to do. Check it out. First I limped to the side like my legs was broken. Shaking and twitching kinda like I was smoking. Crazy whack funky. People say you look like MC Hammer on crack, Humpty. That's alright, cause my body's in motion. It's supposed to look like a fit or a convulsion. Anyone can play this game. This is my dance, y'all. Humpty Hump's my name. No two people will do it the same. You got it down when you appear to be in pain. Humping, funking, jumping, dig around, shaking your rump. And when a doodoo chump punk points a finger like a sun, tell him step off, I'm doing the hump.
The Humpty dance is your chance to do the hump.
Everybody!
I do the Humpty Hump.
Check it out. Black
right, let's go.
Shimmy, shimmy, Coco Pop.
Yeah, shimmy, shimmy, Coco Pop.
Shimmy, shimmy, Coco Pop.
Shimmy, shimmy, Coco Pop.
Wee-wee chocolate crossover.
Yeah, wee chocolate crossover.
See me, Coco, like Coco.
I'm Coco and I might go pop. Now it's about time that I clear this. So pardon me, man, but I'd like for you to hear this.
If you kiss me again, I'll kiss you back.
You see, I feel real good inside, and it's just from your nearness. There's no need for you to fear this.
Kiss me, I'll kiss you back.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you look kinda cute to me. I think we can achieve this. Plus, you act like you need this. Kiss me, and I'll kiss you back. Yeah, real fly. Money deep, not buying it. Quit denying it, you're better off trying it. Freak me, girl, and I'll freak you back.
Through any kind of weather, will me and you forever stay together? Well, I just don't know, but I tell you what though, if you kiss me, then I'll kiss you back.
Kiss you back.
And I guess you wanna know if I'm gonna be around. I ain't sure, but I tell you what I do know. If you kiss me, then I'll kiss you back.
Kiss you back.
All right, let's do this.
If you kiss me, then I'll kiss you back.
Yeah, kiss me and I'll kiss you back.
If you kiss me, then I'll kiss you back.
You with it? Cause if you with it, I'm with it. Yo.
If you kiss me, then I'll kiss you back.
That you hear me, cause I love it when you hear me. And I'm telling you sincerely that if you kiss me, girl, I'll kiss you back. Cause I really, really, really like you, and I just wanna make it clear. We're gonna keep it fair and square.
Kiss me and I'll kiss you back.
Yo, it's not funny. Real cute is what you say to me. But any other way you're playing me, if you love me, then I'll love you back.
Love me and I'll love you back.
When you say I get the most out of this, it kind of bothers me. A fair exchange and no robbery.
Love me, girl, and I love you back.
Love me, girl, and I love you back.
Now I'm hoping that you hear me, cause I love it when you hear me. And you know I know you need me, so I guess that we can do this.
Kiss me and I'll kiss you back.
Alright, sing it with me again, come on.
Kiss me and I'll kiss you back.
Come on, keep it going.
If you touch me here, I'll touch you there.
Yeah, put lotion on me.
If you kiss me, then I'll kiss you back.
I'll kiss you back.
If you love me, girl, I'll love you back.
I'll love you back.
We know what you go through. Sometimes we put you down. People treat you cold when they know you sleep around. We never want to disrespect you, and I'll never tell anyone in town. But if you love me, then I'll love you back. I'm asking if you're down. I'm hoping that you hear me, cause I love it when you hear me. If you kiss me, then I'll kiss you back.
I'll kiss you back.
If you kiss me, then I'll kiss you back. If you play with my feet, I'll tickle your tummy.
If you love me, boy, I love you back.
Yeah, I like when the girls do it.
If you love me, boy, I love you back.
Come on, ladies, one more time, take it.
If you love me, boy,
then I'll hit you back.
Smack me and I'll smack you back.
If you scratch me here, I'll scratch you there.
I'll put lotion on me.
Kiss me, then I'll kiss you back. Shimmy, shimmy, Coco Pop. Wee-wee chocolate crossover. See me, Coco, Michael Pop. Shimmy, shimmy, Coco Pop. See me, Coco.
Wow. In memory of Shop G. Mr. Gregory Edward Jacobs. You know, when you listen to this music, and I know all of you know these, of course you know the first song. I had to play the second one because if you watch the video, it's such a cool video. I love how they did it. They just had just a variety of people, kids just getting a kiss on the cheek and this, that, and the other. Such a cool video, something that's simple. just kiss me and I'll kiss you back. And I remember hearing that song a long time ago, and I liked it then, but then I forgot about it. And in his passing, someone posted it on Facebook. I was like, wow, yeah, that was cool. And shout out to everyone who has gave him props of what he did in this industry. As I said, I read what he did with the first album with Tupac. Cat was awesome. Awesome talent. And he didn't have to be vulgar at all. Not in a bad way.
Hey, Mike, to give you a little background on what I've read, what happened to him. He gave away all his money, pretty much all of his money he lost, or he gave it away. He was depressed. He had a bad drinking problem.
He
went through a lot because he needed validation. If you didn't validate him, they were saying that, he didn't want to try anymore, and he gave up.
Well, I can see that because looking at how the industry is now, when you look at when the hits were hitting, and many artists have gone through it and still are, but when the hits were hitting, everything seemed like it was gravy train. But times changed. True enough, he was going through some trials and tribulations. So I don't know what the cause of death is yet. We don't know yet. I haven't heard.
But
right.
But trust me, you probably can add broken heart in there. Because whatever took him down, they said it really hit him hard, and he had been drinking. So they've been trying to get him to start drinking since 2000. He was going through a lot,
right?
Mentally, I mean, whatever those demons were dealing with, that transition, getting older, being in the business, trying to stay,
relevant. Right. Mm-hmm.
Can I say something?
Let me say this, and you think about a DMX. Now, DMX, okay, granted, he had a heart attack, and he had trials and tribulations, as we all know, over the years. But that stress can get to you. Some folks,
now,
they can get to them. Let me finish. Some folks, it can hit them health-wise, which that's what happened to DMX. But this whole thing with Shock G, like I said, we don't know. Was this intentional for him to take himself out, or was it a health thing? We don't know. So we have to wait on it. But
DMX,
it is sad to hear, because he was only 50, 7 years old?
Yeah, he's my age. I'll be 57 this year. But in DMX's case, DMX, somebody slipped him. They were smoking, and the dude who he was supposed to be his homie didn't tell him that there was crack in that weed, and he got hooked.
See, I didn't hear that story. I haven't heard that story. You're going to have to share that with me. But Janet wants to chime in. But hold on a minute. Hold on a minute. You don't have to send me that story, but Janet, you want to say what?
Well, no, I just wanted to say every time I used to see him, he always had that nose and those big glasses, and he made himself look goofy. I was shocked to see just how handsome he was.
I don't get it.
He wanted to, because he always looked goofy.
But that was a selling point. The whole thing, it was a selling point. There are some artists who look a certain way that, you wouldn't recognize them on the streets because, right, you're used to seeing them in makeup because they don't want you to recognize them on the street. Mm-hmm. I know some, like, yeah, I look this way. I get made up this way. so that when I'm just out with my family, I don't want anybody. In fact, prime example, Mary Jane girls, Maxie, the white girl in the group. When I lived in California, they did an in-store thing. You remember she always wore the leather? She was the one in the leather and, like an officer, okay?
Mm-hmm.
They did an in-store at a store that I worked at. I emceed the whole thing. And I was the manager of the video department. And one evening, here's this woman here with a baby in the stroller, two kids on the side. And she says, "Hey, Michael, how you doing?" And I look, I'm like, "I'm fine." And my mom, I'm thinking, "Who are you?" She's like, This is Maxie. I'm like, "Maxie who?" "Mary Jane girl." She had to tell me. I'm like, "Oh, honest to God's truth." She didn't have on her makeup. She didn't have on her wardrobe. She had her kids. I would have never guessed her just out of the blue.
Mm.
That's part of the whole setup at that time with them. But a lot of artists, you know, you look at folks with these big eyelashes and everything nowadays that look like brooms. If they take them off, you wouldn't recognize them and no makeup on and not wearing the outfits that you used to see them on the album covers or on stage. You wouldn't recognize them. You could be standing right next to them and not even know. So with what you just said, Shock G, same way. It's a gimmick. It's a selling point. And that's exactly what he sold. And it was very good. Digital Underground did very well. And he did a great job with Tupac. You know, it's just sad to see that he's gone. And I'm sure at some point we're going to find out his cause of death. All right, so the time is now 7:23. We have a little over 30 minutes before the show has to come to an end. You guys have moved on. While I was having problems with my phone. And I don't know if we talked about that as far as about.
We just talked about the light funeral, the second thing that you were going to talk about. Your phone was backing up, yeah.
I wanna because since we only have 30 minutes, and you know that normally 30 minutes has to be about 20 minutes because, well, actually 25 because we have to shut down the show. I want to go into this shooting of a 16-year-old. Okay? I want to get into that now because I know that's going to be something that everybody more than likely will have a comment about. A young lady was shot to death this week. Columbus police did release, which is Columbus, Ohio, by the way, did release the video, immediately, of the shooting of a 16-year-old girl. So, let me give you guys a little bit of background if you don't know. Police in Columbus, Ohio, released more body camera video Wednesday showing an officer's point of view as he pulled his weapon, opened fire, and killed a 16-year-old girl while responding to a 911 call. The body-worn camera police officer Nick Reardon recorded how he arrived at a reported disturbance late Tuesday afternoon. Reardon drew his weapon as the altercation unfolded. The video showed. Police have said the video shows someone trying to stab a person on the ground as well as a second person. And by the way, this comes from NBC News, so I've got to let you know where I'm reading the source from. A person wearing a black T-shirt is seen with an object in her right hand that she raises towards a second person before Reardon fires, which you've seen the video. It's a young lady that's in a pink outfit. The girl whom police shot killed was identified as Makia Bryant, 16. Police picked up what appeared to be a knife near the girl's body, and an officer could be heard on camera saying, "She had a knife. She just went at her." Now, I'm going to stop right there. I want to ask everybody, I want to
let ladies go first. And by the way, if you guys are listening, you guys that are on the board, you're welcome to hit the number one if you want to chime in. If you don't, fine, you can listen. Hit the number one and share your point of view if you've seen the video. But I want to go to Janet first. You've seen the video, right? So based on how you, I mean, you've seen it, do you see a knife in that person's hand?
That was earlier. I don't recall seeing a knife in her hand, but I saw where she was lunging, you know.
Towards the girl in the pink dress.
Yeah, but we talked about this, and what my point of view was.
No, I'm saying, but did it look like a knife to you, and she was, like, reaching back? The reason why I'm asking, because I'm going to ask everybody the same thing, you know, and I just really want to get everybody's point of view that watched it. What did you see? Did you see her reach back, and did you think that that was a knife in her hand?
I saw her reach back, but I can't recall if it was a knife, because that was earlier when it first transpired, and I have not looked at that video again since, you know, but I thought it, you know, if she was the one that called the police, she should have been cool waiting for the police to get there instead of trying to stab somebody with the knife.
Okay, that's a good point. So let me jump forward to, and I'm going to get Officer Crenshaw to chime in last because he's a police officer and he's dealt with all this stuff. So I'm going to go to Timon next. I'm sure you've seen the video. What did you see?
I didn't see the knife. I've seen the video a couple of times, but they run through it so quick. I don't get them. They'd have to slow it down for you to see
the
knife.
No, they do have a slow motion. No, but they do have a. There is a slow motion version of it. There is. Yeah, there is.
Okay, but I didn't. I didn't get to see it. But my thing is, from dealing with juveniles and everything, she was from foster care. Obviously, the girl had some issues. Could have been mental, could have been anything. But there again, you know, do you get in physical or do you just pull your gun? Because the officer.
Okay. I want to say this. Okay. Now, allegedly, let's stay on point here. And look at the video now. And I know I'm going to get a lot of flack from people of my point of view, and I'm going to share it after I let everybody share their point of view first, okay? People always ask me, well, Michael, what do you think? Folks always have told me, you're the host of the show. You don't have to say what you think about it. You just host it. No, I have a point of view because I'm watching it, and I've watched it over and over and over again. The thing is that where, keep in mind, allegedly she's the one, and I use my words wisely. Allegedly, she's the one who called the police for help, right? Because allegedly, she was being jumped on by other girls. Okay, so the cops come, and what happened. Now, what I want to do is this. Before I tell you guys my point of view, I'm going to go to Officer Crenshaw, ask him the same question I just asked both of them. Have you seen the video, and did it look like she had a knife?
Yes, I saw the video, and yes, she had a knife.
Okay. And when you watched the video, well, in fact, let me back up. Did you see the slow motion version of it, or just the live, you know, just the live in action version of it?
I saw the in action version, and then I saw. It wasn't a slow motion. It was a steel shot.
Steel shot, right. A soft go, right.
Her arm back with the knife in her hand to where she had drew all the way back to stab.
Mm-hmm.
And you could tell by how far she drew back that it wasn't going to just be a – it was going to be a stab and probably several stabs.
Yeah.
Now, the very first video that I saw when the officer pulled up was the girl tumbling out on the sidewalk, the guy trying to kick her, and then the girl in the pink slung the other girl around, and then that's when she drew back with the knife. She came out when the officer arrived.
Mm-hmm.
But why come out the house with a knife when the police is there?
Thank you. Yeah.
Okay. Go ahead.
So you called the police. You already know the police are shooting black people and white people and yellow people, you know, because they're scared.
More black than others, but they just shoot, right. Yeah. Instead of doing anything else, they're shooting first. But go ahead.
Right. You come out the house with a knife. Something happened with her and the girl in the pink because she pushed her up against the car and drew way back.
Like she was going to do some damage.
Okay.
I mean, he has a responsibility to save a life, even if he has to take a life to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, good point. Now, like I said, I know I'm going to get a lot of flack from folks that are listening to this show, because I've listened to other shows, hosts of other shows, and they are heated mad about this white cop shooting a 16-year-old. Yeah,
did
I don't
he know
like...
she was 16? No.
No. Hold on. First and foremost, as you just said, you don't know how old this man is. That's not on his mind. What age category? And I'm not trying to make a point of it, but that's not what is on his mind. What's on his mind is there's a domestic situation going on, and he has to go and check it out. He can come there with his gun out and shoot in the business. They walked in on a domestic situation like what Officer Crenshaw just said. This is Officer Crenshaw. He has a fight still going on. And if she's the one who called the police, she should have stayed in the house and waited until they came. If she called the police, she should have de-escalated. She went more physical, according to the video. Now, how do I see it? I see it where there could be two people dead right now. There actually could be two people dead right now. I hate that one person died. I really do. I hate that this 16-year-old was shot. And people ask, well, why four times? Well, yeah, there's a lot of questions why why do officers shoot so many times? There's a lot of folks who want to Monday morning quarterback and be like, well, couldn't you have shot him in the arm? Not everybody is a sharp shooter. These are not sharp shooting individuals. Am I right, Officer Crenshaw?
You're right.
If the arm is moving, there's no way you can aim and shoot directly at that arm while it's in motion. Cops are not sharp shooters. You have SWAT for that. And then again, SWAT has to make sure that it's the right time to make that shot. So based on what we see right now, all right, and I mean, just being honest, based on what I've seen, I don't care what everybody, based on what I've seen, and I'm not condoning the fact, but I understand that he was actually trying to save someone from being stabbed. Because that girl stabbed her in the heart, and she would have died. The officer would have shot the girl stabbing, and we would have had two black girls dead right now. That's what we would have had.
Watch out, Mike. Watch out, man. Watch out.
No, I'm just being realistic about it.
Now,
if the girl had a knife, hold on, I'm almost done. Everybody agrees that was a knife in her hand. It wasn't no fake knife. It wasn't a spoon. I'm not trying to make jokes out of it, but the thing is that where if you've seen someone about to possibly take someone else's life, I can see the reaction. Now the question is, how come you didn't use a taser? Officer Crenshaw, what did you say? A taser is not used to harm you, right? Didn't
right.
you just say that? And it's not meant to harm you, but subdue you. So what is the guarantee that if he pulled his taser, that this person would not have been able to still go into motion to stab?
She probably would have been in motion before he even fired the taser.
Well, you guys, for every action, there's a reaction. So as she was in motion, if he tased her, it would make her body react. She still could have ended up stabbing the girl.
That's my point. That's what I just said. Right. I just said that same thing. What's going to stop her from her motion of stabbing by being tased?
That's
not a guarantee. It's not a guarantee. I've seen videos where guys are tased and they just pull the things off and just keep coming at the cops. What if the taser failed? As I said, I'm not condoning this, but you guys, come on now. And I'm saying to everyone who is going, you know, too far into this and making judgments too soon.
It would have been the same if it was a black officer that arrived on the scene.
And imagine if it was a black officer and it was some white folks fighting. Now, what do you think that would have happened? Would it have been the same thing? Would white folks be?
I can only speak for me. It would have been. I can't speak for anybody else because hesitation will get you killed.
True.
You hesitate, she stabs that girl, turns around and starts coming at you. Now you got to explain all of that. So you got to do what your gut and your instinct and your training tell you to do. They're complaining that he shot four times. I think four is a bit much. They normally train us trigger squeeze twice. Okay, but the FBI trains three. Two center mass, one head. What if he only shot one time and that bullet struck her in the head? They'd be saying he didn't have to shoot her in the head. But he only shot one time instead of four. He was trying to save a life.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think his intentions was to take a life when he arrived on the call. Because initially, I tried to put myself in his shoes. I pull up in the patrol car. I see someone come flying out on the sidewalk, flipping over, and a dude chasing her, trying to kick her. I'm looking at that, and my peripheral vision picks up another scuffle to my left, and I see a female draw back with her hand with a knife. That's what I'm going to focus on. The one flipping over on the sidewalk, I'll deal with that after I deal with this one, because as soon as they hear the bang, bang, maybe they'll lay still, they'll stop, they'll go seek cover, whatever they got to do. But I see this woman getting ready to stab another woman, irregardless of age.
Right.
If I didn't see a weapon, then, you know, and it's been situations where we pull up, they're fighting. Okay, if we jump out in the middle, things are going to get worse. Let them finish fighting. Make our presence known. Maybe they'll break up. They'll split up. And then we grab the winner because the loser's laying there. We got to call Grady, you know, for the loser.
Okay.
You know, you have 5 seconds to decide on how you're going to handle the situation. You got multiple fights occurring in front of you. You have to go to the one that's going to do the most damage, which was the knife.
So with that being said, it was what I'm okay. So as I said, there are people that are drawing conclusions, and I get it. I truly do. I get it. You see this white guy. In fact, I've seen folks say, and some of my friends, and I love them. They're very upset, and I get it. I really do. But you got to really take a look at it. You can't. And you know the sad part about it, it happened on the day that Officer Chauvin was found guilty for the murder of Judge. Of George Floyd.
Mm-hmm.
And here we see where this officer killed a 16-year-old in the same state.
Right.
I'm sorry. No. Was that in Minnesota or was that in okay. Same state. And so then you kind of wonder. I'm sorry, that was in Columbus. The shooting of
right. Ohio.
Right. So coming to conclusions too fast, too quick, and not looking at the situation, but the video came out so quick. And I think that there was a reason for that. I think they released that video so that everybody can see the fact that there was a knife of a black teen about to stab another black teen. Am I right or wrong?
But they didn't
they
know.
They put that video out real quick.
But, Mike, bottom line is right now everybody's mad at the police. Because
right.
the majority of them are trying to do their job. You have some rogue officer, just like you got rogue people in every profession, you know. So do you think they wanted to call the police and be involved in a shooting? No, they wanted to call the police to resolve a situation. Unfortunately,
mm-hmm.
it turned, you know, tragic.
Right. We know it turned track. I mean, okay. But the thing is this. I'm just saying. Allegedly, she's the one who called the police. She's the one who called the police. And everybody agrees that when the cops got there, she should have scaled down, not even did what she did. It's almost like, and I'm not saying that she did this in this way, but it's almost like me being a guy like, you know, folks, jump, you know, these cats are jumping on me. I'm going to call my backup, and then I can go ahead and, you know what I'm saying? Like a gang type thing. It's almost like, they're like, okay, well, the cops get here. I got some backup. Now, don't get me wrong. Don't read between the lines, but that's almost like how some individuals look at it, where, okay, I got some security, but not with a knife, and for her to come out of the house with it. And then my question is, where were the adults?
Well,
where were the
Mike,
adults?
You got to look at it from multiple angles. Okay, she was in the house. When the police pulled up, she came out.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
swinging.
Apparently going to the officer. Why she came out with a knife, I don't know. But whatever the girl in the pink did to her or said to her set her off to the point to where she reacted the way that she did. We don't know. They don't show all of that, you know, and the officer did what he felt he had to do, not knowing that she was even the caller. Even if she was the caller, if he knew she was the caller, she still
matter.
Was doing something she shouldn't have been doing. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't know the age.
No, he didn't. So let me ask you guys a question. All right. We got 15 minutes left. In this case, as it's being investigated, you think that officer is going to be charged?
I don't think so.
No.
Officer Crenshaw, you think so?
No.
Let's see. Simon?
No. You said no? Okay.
Yep. Nope.
708-475, I see you sitting there in the cut. You're welcome to go ahead and hit the number one and chime in, and before we get off the air, if you have a comment, you're more than welcome.
Did you ask me?
I don't think so either.
You didn't ask me.
I'm sorry. I just happened to glance at the board. Janet, you think not to, or you think so?
I don't think he should be charged.
Okay,
like we
you don't
saying.
Think he
age,
okay,
no.
That's a
age,
difference.
Age.
I asked, do you think he will be charged? You said you don't think he should be charged. That's a different answer.
No,
I
don't think he will be charged.
Okay. But do you think he should be?
No, because the age, he didn't know how old this person was.
No, you know what I'm saying?
And
but
all
but
he
you
saw
know what
was somebody lunging at somebody with a knife.
Right.
So he did what he had to do.
Right. See, I mean, I like the point of view or the responses that everybody's given, because a lot of folks are saying are putting this as a racial issue, you know. But you've got to really take a look at this. And then, you know, a friend of ours – who's been on the show, O'Brien, he posted something. You know, here we got everybody together with the whole thing with the George Floyd case, and we get together and we march and we do all this type of stuff, and, you know, justice for this and that. But we got to start working on getting along with ourselves in our own community. Because here's a fight among teenagers. These teenagers are fighting over we don't even know. One almost got killed, and one was killed. And I go back again and say it again. It could have been two. It could have been two girls dead. One could have been stabbed to death. And obviously, as she had a chance to stab that girl in the pink, the officers would have opened fire on her, or the officer would have shot her anyway, not knowing what she would have done after that, right? Common sense of how things happen. Officer Crenshaw, you know that I'm right. As you being an officer, if that was you in that situation, I'm not trying to push you in it, but I'm saying that if you were seeing someone, it doesn't matter if it was a woman or a guy or whatever, about to stab somebody. What is your job? Save a life, right?
Right.
Okay.
You're not
waiting until they finish stabbing that person and then shoot them.
Right. I would have shot. Because, see, you're going to face a damn if you do, damn if you don't, irregardless.
Mm-hmm.
But you can explain the truth better than you can a lie. That's why all the people who's lying get caught. You can explain the truth.
Right.
You know, at some point, Mike, like you were saying, we got to go back as a black community, and we got to go back and we got to teach respect and responsibility.
Right.
We got to
right.
go back and start respecting one another and accepting responsibility for our actions and our children's actions instead of
right.
trying to put it off somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
And it's sad that it happens a lot, but, you know, because to be honest, I mean, I had a conversation with a co-worker, which, you know, I'm just going to say his first name, Richard. You know what I'm talking about. And he was saying
yeah.
about all these, and we had a deep conversation, and he was trying to tell me, well, you need to do this and do that. I said, you know, there's a lot of stuff you could tell me that what the black community needs to do. I said, but there's a lot of things that the white community needs to stop doing. I said, but it goes both ways. I mean, I understood what he's saying. I agreed with him on that. Right? He's telling me what we need to do, and I'm telling him what they need to stop doing. And he was like,
People need to stop looking at color and just think about equal rights.
Right, but the point is what I'm saying is that where when you look at the conversation we were having is where as a white man, he's looking at, well, these civil rights leaders don't speak up about these certain things that happen within their own communities, right? But they'll speak up and call everybody a racist that whenever there's a black and white issue, right? That was his argument with me. I said, yeah, but now think about this of where here's white folks who, as we call white privilege, can do things that black folks can't do. Need to stop allowing that. See what I'm saying? There's two different things here going on simultaneously. And black folks are like, that's white privilege. White folks are like, this is my point of view, are like, well, see, black folks need to stop doing that in their community. That's true on both sides.
Well, see, that was the point behind the pandemic. The point behind the pandemic was to prove to everybody that we're all the same. We're going to die the same.
That's right.
Yeah,
but
you can all die, right?
You had Trumpians who decided, you know, that, well, we're not going to die. You know, it's not going to affect us if you keep the blacks away from us and the minorities away from us, you know.
Because they
so,
knew the minorities were more susceptible towards getting the virus. And so that's why they kind of like stepped back and didn't do the things they should have been doing.
But they
the pandemic exposes the inequality in our society. It also exposes where the humanity was. And when you see the rural areas that were way out, there were whites who were also suffering because they could not get, you know, they didn't have Wi-Fi. They didn't have ways of getting, you know, the vaccine out to them or for them to get the help that they need because they bought into that this is not real. You know,
Right. They don't. They, I mean, when you get the folks in the rural areas, as you said, the Wi-Fi and this and the other, they can't get the information as quickly. And many don't even know how and don't even care.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like the Pony Express in some areas. They get it a month later. I'm just joking, but you know what I'm saying? Some folks are just like, whatever.
Some people have access and don't want to utilize it.
That's true. That is very true. All right, so you guys, we have 6 minutes left. There's so much more that we could talk about. I thank you guys for chiming in. I thank all the callers, all the folks in the chat room, the folks on the Internet, on the World Wide Web. World, thank you for listening. Real quick, when it comes to taking the vaccine, there's a lot of people who don't want to take it, and I don't really want to start a whole topic on it right now since we only have 5 minutes, but would you recommend everyone get it?
I think everybody should get it.
Okay.
In order for us to be able to stamp it down and get it really completely under control, I think everybody
mm-hmm.
should get it.
Okay. Real quick, I'm just going to throw a couple of things out. President Joe Biden is about to hit his 100 days in office. Is he doing a good job?
Yep.
I think so.
I don't even curse it, and I'll say, hell yeah.
Uh-oh.
Hell yeah, you don't curse me. Right. I'm surprised you said it.
Hey, but guess what, Mike? He didn't have to do that much. If Trump would have did what Joe is doing, it wouldn't have been a problem. Man, sit in office.
Trump probably would have been in office. You're right. You're right.
Yeah,
he probably would have been.
But he didn't do it right. He was so focused on himself. So that's why Trump I mean, Joe coming looking like a rock star is back to making politics boring, as they should be. Joe ain't on the golf course. You know, Joe, you can't find Joe. Joe ain't nowhere around.
No,
that's
interesting. That's
and no more 35,000 lives.
That's interesting. That's interesting that you mentioned that Joe is not on the golf course. That's true. You haven't seen a photo or heard anything about him being on the golf course. Wow.
Trying to call him Sleepy Joe and there's something wrong with him. You know, that's all they do. That's all they do is try to degrade and tear folks down and insult. You know, Trump may be gone, but they've picked up a lot of his characteristics, and they do a lot of the same stuff that he does, that he wants, you know, out there. So it's not going to matter, but still, you know, and all this policy, they're going to get passed.
All right, you guys, we got to get out of here. The time is gone. Hey, thank you guys for joining us here on the TMGS of the TMGN Network. We'll be back next Saturday. Well, I'm just playing it by ear, and because I'm doing a lot of different things, but we'll be back next Saturday. Regardless, we're going to take a break at some point, but I believe next Saturday I do have a special guest. I have to talk to her because she's traveling from Las Vegas to Tennessee, and probably her and her daughter will be joining us next week or the week after that. We'll see. We're working it out. It's all in the mix. Hey, thank you for joining the TMGS, and we'll see you soon. Have a blessed rest of your week. We'll see you then. Good night, you guys. I love you. Peace. Here's Lodge and DOA.
Good night.
Hey, D. OA. Man, nobody want to do the funk no more, man. But I ain't scared.